This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to Heart and Soul with me, Lauren Booth, your place to reflect. Have you ever heard the saying, all that you touch and all you see is all your life will ever be? Well, that's a materialistic view of existence. There's definitely some truth in there, because if we don't seek to change our condition, then it will always stay the same and we'll be surrounded by the same situation, the same problems, and we won't better ourselves. But it's clear at the same time that material goods alone, this touching and seeing world, do not in any way guarantee happiness. I mean, let's be honest, if it did, Beverly Hills rehab clinics would be empty instead of full. My guest today, to explore the viewpoint on what constitutes success and wealth in the terms of the Quran and an Islamic understanding, is Sheikh Sajid Umar. Sheikh Sajid has a bachelor's degree in Sharia and a master's in judiciary, and he is now pursuing his PhD at the New Muslim Academy. He is a great participant in youth organizations and in community projects, and we welcome him back. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of God Almighty be upon you.
Sheikh, I want us to consider for a moment this life of attainment. So many of our goals are based around either an income bracket or being a affordability of something that we want. We want to touch and see things. Those are our goals. Those are the signs of success. It's impossible to see somebody who is perhaps a humble person working in a bathroom somewhere as more successful in any way than we are in our own sense of self-importance. What is this materialism to our hearts? What effect is it having?
May Allah bless you, Sister Lauren. Excellent question, excellent topic. So, you know, you've actually just, I think, hit the nail on the head, as the English saying goes, by mentioning that, you know, what defines being rich? What defines contentment? I just want to share an interesting conversation that I had just within the last couple of days. You know, in one of my charitable projects, we've just, alhamdulillah, now hit the target of feeding more than 9 million meals a year. So, as we were doing the presentation on this, there was a discussion about, you know, poverty and people being impoverished. And the discussion that took place between, you know, on our table was, look, at the end of the day, how do you identify poverty? You know, is poverty, you know, being in the situation whereby you eat one meal a day, is that being impoverished? Because, you know, I grew up in Africa for a long time, and there's people who don't have electricity, but they don't find themselves in poverty. In fact, I know of people that when electricity reached them, they didn't want it. They didn't even want to switch on the light, right? And they never considered themselves impoverished. So upon which paradigm do we define poverty? You know, it's a very relative discussion. And, you know, when you spoke about the sweeper, and, you know, we, as you know, today as a society, especially in first world societies, we tend to look down at the sweeper and feel sorry for the sweeper, right? But at the end of the day, if the sweeper doesn't sweep, then we will be affected. You know, we are interdependent beings. We live within the law of we. That's the reality. That's how God Almighty made us. We leverage off each other's strength. The dustbin man has to be there. If he's not there, disease will spread. So the dustbin man is as important as the CEO at a corporation. And, you know, if we're going to sort of set our paradigms upon financial standing and material well-being and understanding who is successful and who is truly happy, then we have a problem. Because as you can see from different scenarios we've shared, it's a flawed process. And the Messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, taught us that true contentment of the heart and true happiness, being really rich, right? The richest person, the person who has the most content heart and the most content soul. I think I'll share this as a start to our discussion.
You're right. I was thinking just then, while you were talking, Sheikh, about how I had been to refugee camps in the Gaza Strip, and it was there that my heart was touched by this recognition that my heart was not content despite having material and career success. And I went into this house, well, it was a slum, really, and I was welcomed there by the mother during Ramadan, who offered me the three plates of very simple food that she had for all 10 in her family and gave them all away to the visitor. She just gave them to me. And and I felt angry and I thought, why are you fasting? Why are you happy and why are you fasting? And she said, I fast in Ramadan to remember the poor. And she was able to smile, subhanAllah, in a way that I hadn't been able to smile in years. And she saw herself as rich because one day in 30, she was going to have meat because the guest had bought it. And one day that she had been blessed by a visitor and she was going to be able to feed her children. And that was enough for her to be content. SubhanAllah.
There you go. I can relate to that, because just a few days ago, I went over to the Calais, to the refugee camps in France. And I came across this wonderful Malaysian gentleman, him and his wife. He has what he calls kitchen in Calais. And you can look this up, and I really want you to, and all the viewers to as well. He's a Malaysian, and his story is, he heard about the refugee camps. He went there for 3 days, you know. He says, look, 3 days to give my fellow brother, my fellow sister, you know, their rights. Because he was living in the UK at the time. And on the third day, when they were heading back, there was an emergency in the camp, which, you know, his wife came to know about, a Syrian sister, and she says, you can't go, we have to help her. So they left their bags and they went to help, and when they went to help the person, by the end of it, they missed the ferry back home. Mm-hmm. When they missed the ferry back home, him and his wife sat down with the kids and said, maybe, you know, God Almighty wants us to remain here. Mm-hmm. So he remained there. And in the service of the people there, and from his own money, he spent, and then, you know, he raised some money to build this kitchen, and they feed 1,000 meals a day from this kitchen. And I went to meet them. And honestly, he has drained his bank account, and he literally lives from morning till night in the service of the thousands of refugees there. And when I said, how do you do it? You know, what about education? What about, you know, you and your family? He said, he's like, he's got a caravan parked there, and they live in the caravan. He goes, we're happy. He goes, we are absolutely happy. I said, but where do your kids learn? He says, he learns here with the refugees. That's where he learns. Wow. That's his education. I said, what about you and yourself? He goes, no, this is me as well. I've learned engineering here because he's done amazing things in getting water done and, you know, looking after the electrical problems, looking after the filling of the gas canisters and so on and so forth. He says, you know, Sheikh, when I wash the plate that after cooking, my hands get washed. Mm. And I said, wow. That is an amazing way to look at it. You know, he's happy. His bank balances are at zero, but he is happy. He's content. He says, this is my happiness. My kids' education happened here with the refugees by him learning from the different experiences and the different walks of life and what they go through and doing in the service. I mean, his 10-year-old boy, he can cook 80 kilograms of rice.
Wow.
Right? And honestly, you know, just, I can relate to what you're saying, and now that, you know, we're talking about what mandate being rich, no doubt, being rich really is proportionate to the level of contentment your heart can experience. I'm going to share a story, if you allow me, very quickly, if there's time. Once in Saudi Arabia, one of our teachers went to a rich man and told us, you know, for a donation. They were looking to build a masjid, a place of worship, and they went to him. And they asked for a donation. After some time in discussion, you know, a check was given. And just before our teacher was leaving, the rich man asked him to stay. And he goes, look, I just need to have a private conversation with you, if you would allow. The sheikh said, no problem. When he sat with this very rich man, this rich man said to him, if you know what, sheikh, I have money on earth, and I have money under earth, and I have money in the sky, and I have money on water. Mm-hmm. Right? This is how wealthy he is, you know. Allah knows what he meant by this, ships and planes and all sorts of things. But then he said, but you know what? I have trouble sleeping. I have trouble sleeping. Can you help me? And my sheikh said, it's very simple. I have a very simple solution for you. And he said, أَلِّقْ مَالَكَ بِرَبِّ. He says, you know what? All this wealth that you have, tie it to your Lord. So that you tie the thing that you love to the one who you should be loving. And when you do that, this wealth will become a means of peace for you. It will become a means of contentment for you. That was amazing advice that has stuck with me for many years. And it's advice that I share with people, especially when we discuss being rich and being content and wealth. Mm.
You know, Sheikh, there is a wonderful hadith of our Prophet, peace be upon him, where he gave advice concerning not admiring what other people have, that if you don't want what they have, the people will love you. Can you complete that hadith?
Yes, yes. The Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, taught us that, is had mercy aid in that, meaning don't busy yourself or consider poultry and inexpensive that which people have in their hands. And if that will be your philosophy and your mannerism, then people will love you in return, right? Because at the end of the day, why? Because if you stop being excited about what other people have, it will develop you as a human being. This is what the Prophet is saying. The first development that you have is that you will be rid of jealousy. Mm-hmm. And it is jealousy that causes enmity and disunity amongst people, that causes other people to hate us, that causes us to act in an inappropriate way to other people. When you're jealous of somebody, it's in the heart, nobody can see it. But, it will come out on your tongue, on your hand action, in the way you speak, in the way you, in the way you behave in front of them or with regards to them, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us that, peace and blessings be upon him, is saying that, look, you loving too much materialism is going to have an adverse effect. It's going to have an effect, and that effect is going to be adverse on yourself, on your entities as a human being. So don't busy yourself with that. And people will love you. Why? Because you naturally will have your person of good character, and we always love people of good character, and there's few of them around. God Almighty make us people of good character.
I mean, we can sense that when people want something from us and they're only with us, and the wealthy, unfortunately, are surrounded by people who are asking from them all the time, and our sense of superiority, any sense of jealousy, stops our spiritual progress. We'll be back after this.
Glory to Allah, thanks is to Allah, Alhamdulillah. Praises to Allah, glory to Allah, Subhanallah. Glory to Allah. In the beginning there was nothing but Allah, not a single soul, young or old, nothing but Allah. No sun, no moon, no planet earth, no guiding star. No day or night, there was nothing near or far. The first thing that our Lord created was the pen. He ordered it to write down every single thing. So it wrote down everything that will come to pass. Until the day of judgment, that day will be the last. And then he created the heavens and the earth, and every living thing inside his universe. Nothing that he created can compare to him. He gave birth to none, none gave birth to him. Allah depends on none, while all depend on him. We all depend on him. All glory to Allah, Subhanallah. Glory to Allah, all praises to Allah, Alhamdulillah. Allah. All glory to Allah, Subhanallah. Glory to Allah. None but Allah provides the air that we all breathe, the rain, the sun, the trees, he knows what we need. His blessings and his mercy daily we receive. Should we not give him thanks, we say we believe. Was all this created just for having fun? No reflection, no purpose, no reason. Does man think that he will be left to wander free? without being held accountable for all his deeds. Allah created us so we can worship him, not his creation nor his creatures, only him. Associate none as a partner with your Lord. As true believers, that's a sin we can't afford. He is the only one worthy of our praise. We all depend on him. All glory to Allah, subhanallah. Glory to Allah. All praises to Allah, alhamdulillah. Praises to Allah. All glory to Allah, subhanallah. Glory to Allah. In the beginning there was nothing but Allah. Glory to Allah, praises to Allah, alhamdulillah. Praises to Allah, glory to Allah, alhamdulillah. Glory to Allah, glory to Allah, alhamdulillah. Glory to Allah, praises to Allah.
You're listening to Heart and Soul on QF Radio with me, Lauren Booth. Sharing gems of knowledge with us today is Sheikh Sajid Umar. Welcome back, Sheikh. We talked about a sense of jealousy stopping our spiritual progress, and the other side was that wonderful man and his family who went to the terrible camps at the moment in Calais in France and is giving out everything he has just to feed people. Charity is a reward, and what's fascinating is science is chasing what we know as believers and what we know as human beings, that doing something nice for somebody else feels good, but it also has, in this realm, in our bodies, positive repercussions. The brain activity changes when somebody does a good deed, and in fact the endorphins, the good feelings you have when you're doing something enjoyable come into you through that charitable act. So that is another way of being successful.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just read a research the other day which stated the same thing you're saying now, that they did this thorough research with a group of people, and they found that their brains experience and excitement from being charitable, from giving, not only from giving money, but also in being selfless and kind to other people, perhaps assisting them, you know? And this is true to the nature of us as human beings. After all, we were created by God Almighty, right? And God Almighty is merciful, and God Almighty gives and gives and gives. I mean, he gives us irrespective of our piety or lack of piety, he still gives us, right? There's people who don't even believe in him, but they wake up every day and they're breathing and they're living and they have families and good health. And this is from the mercy of God Almighty, that even if we insult him by not believing in him, he still gives. And he created us. So he has created us really to be givers. And in a talk the other day, I was just mentioning to the people, to the attendees, that, you know what, I received a question actually. And the question is, you know, should we do what we love or should we do what we're good at? Right, so it was a youth empowerment program that I was attending, and this question was put through to me. Should I do what I love, or should I do what I'm good at? And as I pondered over it, and looking at the life of the messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, and looking at the ethos of Islam, I said, you know what? You should do what you're good at. Don't do what you love. And if you do what you're good at, you'll end up doing that which you love. But they said, how so? I said, look, at the end of the day, as Muslims especially, it was a Muslim audience, it was Muslim students across universities, I said, look, our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he came to give, not to take, and he is our teacher. And we have to be just that, people who give and not take. We shouldn't be people of entitlement. Mm. We should be people who make things happen. We should not be people who wait for other people to do things for us.
Mm.
And I said, look at the messenger. He came to a world whereby there was people worshipping idols, right, in a place that was not even considered a civilization. And in fact, even the two civilizations then were misguided civilizations. You had the Persians worshipping the fire. You had the Romans who were practicing a distorted version of the message of Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, right? But what did he do? Did he come to take and be part and parcel of the system, or did he come to give? He came to give. So he happened to the world. The world didn't happen to him. And this is who Muslims are. This is who believers are. And all the prophets came and happened to the world, and they taught their people to be people who happened to the world, meaning you came to give, not to take. And this is amazing in terms of really feeling as if you're a rich person. You could have a billion in the bank, but the million, the trillionaire is the one who can give, who can give. You know, since we're talking about wealth, wealth from an Islamic perspective is not evil in and of itself, but inherently evil. No. In fact, we are commanded to earn wealth. God Almighty, on a Friday, commands us to go out and work, right? And Friday is the holy day for the Muslims. There's no other religion that tells you to work on your holy day, right? Not the Jews don't work on the Sabbath, and Sunday for the Christians is also a holiday. But on a Friday, God Almighty says, when you complete the Jumu'ah prayer, the Friday prayer, go out in the earth and search for your sustenance. So why would God Almighty tell us to do that on the Muslims' most holy day if money was evil? Money is not evil.
And this is all related, isn't it, to an imbalance in life. Now we never have our phones off. We rush if there's a ping at midnight and the phone can be lying next to us or near us to someone. It's not usually, I hope somebody's calling to ask me for help. What you want is that going to serve my nafs in some way? Is that going to serve my project in some way? Is that going to make me wealth in some way? And this is very harmful. You know, when I came to Islam and I started to question myself, because really having a faith is about bringing yourself to account every day and every morning and every night. And I realized that for about 30 years, I had never knowingly done a good deed for another person. SubhanAllah. Wow. I cried a lot when I realized that. Not for my mom, not for my daughters. I did what I had to in the absolute minimum, and I didn't even know how to do good deeds. And this is a very
God
dark
Almighty
place.
God Almighty bless you for sharing that. You know, and you know, you said earlier about the English statement, money is the root of all evil. It's not the root of all evil. It's human beings that are the roots of all evil. Because from an Islamic perspective, God Almighty will ask us how we earned our wealth and how we spent our wealth. And that is what decides how good or bad your money is. If you earn it in the right way, it's very good. And if you spend it in the right way, it's very good. You know, I tell the people I lecture, go and become billionaires. Don't settle to be a millionaire. Go and become a billionaire. And give out a billion for the sake of God, right? So Islam is all about go and get rich, but make sure your riches are in your hand. And you keep God Almighty only in your heart. And that is truly the rich person. That is truly the rich person.
We're talking about sharing, we're talking about charity, and we're talking about the real meaning of success and wealth. And it is a sad state of affairs when we see the suicide rate amongst the highest in the world in the United States, one of the wealthiest countries in the world. And every day, it seems, in a newspaper, somebody who's been this glowing symbol of material joys and, you know, we can say excesses, feel so empty that they end their lives. How do we stop that emptiness, Sheikh?
May God Almighty guide us. You know, we stop that emptiness by understanding the formula of happiness. People who go on to this suicide journey, it's really a case of depression, extreme depression. It's a case of feeling that, you know, life's not worth living anymore. I've lost everything. I'm not going to say it only happens because people have lost money. All types of people have lost companionship and so on and so forth. But a lot of it's got to do with money. And you know, the human being cannot understand everything that mandates being happy. You know, we might understand certain things that make up a portion of happiness, but happiness is a bigger circle. So for some human beings, happiness is in financial standing and material well-being. For other human beings, happiness is in having children. For other human beings, happiness is in having a pretty or handsome spouse. But really, that only makes up a portion of happiness. Is that going to make up ultimate happiness?
I would like to finish with two things that we can practically do today.
Yes, number one, shift your paradigm. Stop understanding riches to be how much money you have in your bank account, and understand being rich to be, how content you are, how content your heart and soul is. So shift your paradigm, number one. Number two, give out charity. This is a good start in making your world a better place.
Thank you so much, Sheikh. May Allah, the provider, pour his abundance upon us all. His storehouses are never empty. May he give you abundance, good and lawful sustenance. Ameen. Join me, Lauren Booth, for more Heart and Soul Talk tomorrow at the same time. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh. You've been listening to Heart and Soul. Until tomorrow, assalamu alaikum.